Kevin Clark, Martin D. Johnson, David Dennis Jr., Bill Plaschke. Bill, you told us hey, Oscar Hernandez would win the Derby. You called it. Reap the rewards. Glory.
It was over.
Tonight, the star of stars. Will it be Shohei, Judge, Skeens? Tens, tell everybody what you just said about Ellie De La Cruz.
Ellie De La Cruz, stolen base.
Oh, I'd love to see that. Also, NFL news today, Brandon Ayuk requesting a trade from the 49ers. Let's go around the horn.
Woo! Big game for Dodgers. Pick him off and his team. What?
Home Run Derby came down to the last swing. Bobby Witt Jr. for the tie. As you know, no, it's off the wall. 3 feet short, maybe. And that's how Teoscar Hernandez was your winner of this new derby. There were new rules. Why the long competition? Some of us. 3 hours. Bill Plaschke, around the horn to you. Did the derby in new format deliver?
It was tremendous, Tony. It started off with the great Freddie Freeman making a great catch against the wall, stealing a home run while shagging. That got it off to a great start. Home run derbies are about stories, and Teoscar Hernandez is a great story. He's the last guy in the event. He got through the first round by one home run, second round by one home run, won by one home run. He was so excited to be there. The bonus round worked great as the ultimate do-or-die home run for swing or miss. The thing was great. It worked perfectly. Great drama, great ending, great finish.
David Dennis Jr., is that how you saw it?
Absolutely not. 3 hours for a home run derby that gave us 100 fewer home runs than we got last year. Like, that does not make any sense to me. There are too many rules, too much explanation. Give me back the old time. Bill, get off my lawn. Take it back to, let me tell you about old school baseball here.
Me off Plaschke. Your lawn.
I want 10 outs.
Give me 10 outs,
and let us hit home runs as far as humanly possible. Get this thing over with in 2 hours, and let us have some fun instead of being drawn out over the explain thing.
Yeah, I thought the ending was great, right? You had Bobby Witt Jr. coming within mere feet, probably the size of my shoe, of sending this into extra time. And then the round before that with Alec Baum and Teoscar
Hernandez, yeah.
Great hit off. But that being said, like David said, 3 hours with the new pitch clock rules, that could be almost two whole MLB games that we just sat through in one home run derby. So, yeah, I liked what we saw in the end, but everything before that, like the most, you know, noteworthy thing out of that is Gunnar Henderson's Scooby-Doo impression. Like, that stood out to me the most other than everything else.
And Kevin Clark, did the derby work for you?
Great ending, worst product. Bill, the home run derby is not about stories. It's about dingers. It's about famous people hitting dingers. That's all we want to see. And that didn't happen last night relative to the last few years. The fewest home runs total since 2018. As David said, over 100 fewer than just last year. I think you play with the format a little bit. I like the 2015 to 2023 format. I like the seeding. But then beyond that, the 10 ounce thing, like, I'm a nostalgia freak to begin with. I would like to see a little bit of tweak here because I just think the old format.
Bill Plaschke back in.
Teo hit nearly 4 miles worth of home runs. There were more longer home runs hit than I think any other home run derby. The ball was flying out of there.
I'll ask you if you have the stats to back that up there, Plaschke. That did not look like Fenway Park in 1990. That did not look like Josh Hamilton in Yankee Stadium.
Talk about distance. Talk about distance. Not even by distance.
Mileage. Home run mileage.
No way. Well, okay, fine. We got to the bottom of that. All-Star game tonight. That's the big deal here. Let's go. Let's go around the horn. Who you got? What to watch for? We got the stars, but the rookie is where all eyes are on to start. Your NL starter, Paul Skeens. David, start there. All-Star games can be where you make your name. What would Skeens delivering in the biggest stage look like to you?
Tony, we're almost at the 25th anniversary, 1999, Fenway Park. Pedro Martinez striking out the side. Sosa whiffs. McGuire whiffs. It's my favorite MLB All-Star game moment. Skeens could give us something like that where he has this monster top of the line and he shows why everybody is calling him the new great pitcher that we will see. We can see that level of greatness tonight. And even if somebody does get a hit off him in that top three, we get Skeens at Aaron Judge, and we have a face-off that is going to be legendary. This is the star-making moment that we could possibly see from him, and I cannot wait to see it.
Martenzie Johnson.
Yeah, just like David said, I think he has to strike out of these three, Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto, and Aaron Judge, I think he has to strike out two of them. Oh, come on for the points turn. He has to strike out at least two of them, I think, to make a name for himself. And throw in that splinker. I've been hearing about this pitch. Have him get him looking on that one. Get him swinging on that. I think that will make Paul Skeens stand out for this.
One thing baseball has struggled mightily with in the last couple of years is generating stars quickly. Paul Skeens has 11 starts, and he's already somebody we all want to see. So this is about him putting on his full arsenal. He is essentially able to do anything with the baseball. His four-seam fastball averages 99 miles per hour, but I was watching a pitching ninja breakdown of his backdoor slider, which looks a lot like his wasted pitch off the plate. It's really special to see his command married with the velocity he has. This is special. I think a lot of casual fans are going to be wowed tonight. This is about putting on a show.
And Bill Plaschke.
Yeah, you have to embrace how unusual this is. This is the first rookie All-Star Game starter in 29 years. It's the first player ever to be drafted 1 year and make the All-Star team the next year. Also, I'm excited about there's 39 new All-Stars in this game. Mm-hmm. Guys people have never heard of will be playing it, which is very cool. Jackson Merrill, Willie Castro, David Fry.
So you like it, because some have said the new names, you're going to wait around and see them pinch hit in the seventh inning. Is that going to get you turned on as a fan?
I think it's cool to see new players. Yeah, I think it's cool.
Martenzie, what else are you watching for?
Oh, like I said in the opening, Tony, Ellie De La Cruz, 46 stolen bases so far this season, 16 more than second place.
But what is the stolen base record in the All-Star game? Does anybody know that?
You.
Is that a record?
Thank you for asking me.
Three.
It's two. It's just two. and the most recent was 2011. And you got to go back to 1963, the first time it happened, Willie Mays. I think Ellie can do it. Why not? What else is there to do? You might as well go for it.
There's two stolen bases. That's the I remember that one inside the park home run. That was Ichiro a few years back. Maybe he could do that. Kevin, anything else you're watching for?
Whether or not Aaron Judge gets an at-bat off of Skeens, he's got to have the top of the lineup perform there. I want to see the two of the best players in baseball this year go at it. That star power.
David Dennis Jr.?
Yeah, to me, it is the 1-2 combo, Soto, Judge. I want to see what they could do after, you know, Skeens maybe.
You want to see what they can do? They do that every game at the Yankees. That we've seen before.
Shohei's going deep. Tony, I'm calling it right now. Shohei's going deep.
I'm calling it right now. I would expect nothing less. Let's stay on Soto for a second because he was available all day yesterday talking about his future. And he said he's looking forward to wearing one jersey for a long time. So the Soto sweepstakes, we all know it's ahead of us this winter. But Kevin, how'd you interpret him saying he wants to wear one jersey for all the time?
I interpret it to mean this negotiation, these next few months, are a legacy game for Hal Steinbrenner. Hal, your name is on the line here. They're saying that your stadium lacks aura and that your franchise doesn't care about winning anymore and all you want to do is sell expensive buckets of chicken. You have to perform now in the next couple of months and get this guy under contract because, and I keep seeing in all these stories, oh, well, they have Judge under contract and Gerrit Cole and Stanton. You're the Yankees. Act like it.
Okay.
This is the litmus test for how the modern Yankees are going to perform. Do you sign Soto or do you not? Get it done.
Did you just call it a legacy game for Hal Steinbrenner?
What else is it? What else is
Martenzie.
It? He's not the owner we thought. They're not the franchise we thought they were if they don't get this done.
Okay, Martenzie on Soto talking up his winter ahead of him.
Yeah, what I take from that, him saying he wants to wear a jersey. He doesn't say the Yankees, right?
Okay.
And
yeah.
Then he's asked, does what happens at the end of the season impact his decision with the Yankees? He says, I don't know. So it seems like he's negotiating with the Yankees. But also, there's so many teams available, the top teams in particular. You've got the Dodgers. You got the Cubs. You've got the Mets, they are all shedding salary next year to be able to afford this guy. So if he wants to win, obviously you have the Yankees, which is on the team right now, and you have the Dodgers. But if he wants to win in the future, the Cubs have one of the best farm systems in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't hurt to go there as well. Everyone can afford
David Dennis Jr. Not everybody can afford him. That's David Dennis Jr.
Juan Soto's pulling from the LeBron James All-Star Weekend handbook here of, you know, making his name known, putting people on notice about what they could do, namely saying, hey, I wouldn't mind playing with Shohei Ohtani. You saw him last night getting in the Dodgers huddle.
Yeah, I did.
He's out there telling people, hey, I'm looking around. And he's putting the Yankees on notice and saying, you got to break back that truck up or I'm looking somewhere else. Masterfully played by Juan Soto.
Bill Plaschke.
This is the Scott Boras playbook. That's what he's reading from. He'll sign for the most money, and it won't be his last contract. I guarantee he'll sign. He's only 25. He will not wear uniform the rest of his career. He'll sign a deal with a bunch of option years in it, a bunch of player options. Scott Boras will give him the best deal, and he'll go where the money is.
He'll go with it. Yankees, so it doesn't matter. Sox, he's wearing the Yankee uniform.
Doesn't matter. He'll go where the money is. Scott Boras.
That was interesting from All-Star Week. One other story from All-Star Week. It was impossible to avoid or ignore last night. It was the anthem pre-derby by country singer Ingrid Andress. It's going to be video that lives forever, but I want to talk about what came out today. Andress posting on social that she will be taking some time away, that she admitted she was drunk, and that she will now be taking steps to go to rehab. So another example of you never know what somebody's going through while you're watching it, but also I want to focus on the strength that she's showing here to publicly admit and now make steps to be better. Fire sale next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron.
Celtics Lakers in Summer League. Plaschke wants us to know the rivalry continues. Bronny Watch, 2 points, 1 assist, 3 rebounds in 25 minutes. Something I want to talk through here. NBC Boston cameras on Jaylen Brown courtside caught him in a private conversation, and it was posted. And then liberators went to work, many thinking Brown said, I don't think Bronny is a pro. And then Kaiser Gondrzek, who was sitting next to him, said, I think he'll be on the G League team for sure. And then Brown again said, I don't think so. I think because of his name, he'll be on the Lakers. You'll notice Angel Reese there, not involved in the conversation. Great peripherals from Angel Reese. Again, no audio here to confirm this. This is a whole thing from a private conversation. I want to know what you think of that. And then Brown responding and tweeting, it's a flex to have your son alongside you in the NBA. It reflects greatness and longevity. Bronny has all the tools around him to be successful. Look forward to watching his growth. So, Bill, what do we have here?
Well, Jaylen Brown's not saying something that everybody else is saying. Everybody's saying it. I'm saying it. The kid's not NBA ready. He's not even close. It's not his fault. He had a heart attack. He had a shortened college freshman season. He's not ready. The Lakers shouldn't have drafted him. They put him under a spotlight. What will happen is he will play one game with his dad early in the season, hopefully the start of the season. Then he'll go to the G League and get to develop in the shadow somewhat. I feel bad for him.
And Brown specifically,
it's not his fault.
You feel he said nothing wrong. How do you feel about cameras capturing it, then it being out there, and then lip readers, and
he's
then him having to address it, which is why
he's
we're talking
He's got to talk like
well,
this.
Yeah?
He's got to talk like this.
David Dennis Jr.?
First of all, I hate the culture of the lip syncing and catching that, him talking in a private conversation and it being extrapolated over social media and him having to go on Twitter and talk about that. That is, something that I think is just like, we don't need any of that. But the breaking news here is Jaylen Brown is watching the same basketball that the rest of us are watching. And the fact is that Bronny James is not ready for pros and barely ready for G League. He's averaging 4-4-1 on 23-0-50%. Blitz, a negative 38, minus 38 plus minus since he's been playing in Summer League. This kid is not ready. He's been put in a terrible position, and Jaylen Brown just watched what all the rest of us are watching, and that's a kid who's not ready.
Bartenzie Johnson.
Yeah, like Jaylen Brown is saying, like everyone else is saying, like what we've all seen and what we've all been saying. But only thing is, we've been criticized for saying these things as if it wasn't obvious to everyone else. So Jaylen Brown kind of justifies what everyone else has been saying. But that being said, Jaylen Brown, like, get the V Stiviano mask or something, man. You got to know that you're being watched at all times. You're the finals MVP, man. Come on.
Kevin Clark.
Yeah, first of all NBA players, not just some, need to learn from European soccer stars and talk like this. So it's not a big deal and no one can notice when I say Jaylen Brown is right and Bronny's not an NBA player. Having said that, I agree with everybody else. I hate the culture of lip reading, aggregator accounts, taking one thing and saying, oh, look what this wide receiver said to this coach. We have no idea if it's true. If I was Jaylen Brown, I wouldn't have even quote tweeted and dignified this and signal boosted it. I would have just ignored it, let people argue about it. It seemingly was confirmed by the fact that he didn't deny anything in it. But I think we're getting to a very dangerous place where we're just literally putting words in people's mouths because of the way their lips are moving. Even professional lip readers are not very good at their job. And I really think
there's a difference between maybe an umpire and a manager, right? On the field of play, going at each other and lip reading that in this, which was, you know, maybe it was the live camera that caught him at an opportune time or inopportune, and then the lip reading goes from there. I also struggle with it completely. And Brown addressing it today, you know, turns it into even a bigger deal. Buy or sell too. NFL news of the day. Mike Garofolo, NFL Network, reporting a trade request, not for himself. Brandon Ayuk has been wanting a new deal with the 49ers. It hasn't come. And now a trade request. Boom! Or maybe not so boom, as the en vogue response from teams recently has seemed to be, maybe we'll ignore this. And Adam Schefter reporting this afternoon, while 49ers may have taken calls or calls have been made, they're not entertaining the idea of trading Ayuk. Kevin Clark, what do we have here with Ayuk in San Francisco?
We have Brandon Ayuk as a San Francisco 49er this year. It is a really unique situation because Ayuk is so good and the Niners are so close to winning the Super Bowl, a thing they haven't done in the Kyle Shanahan era, that this is a one-of-one negotiation. You're not trying to win a negotiation. You're trying to win a Super Bowl. And Ayuk is going to help you do that. Reception Perception did a breakdown of Ayuk last week and basically talked about what routes he's good at. And the answer is everything. He has a 60% success rate on every single thing he does on the field. No one is that good right now at getting open in football. The Niners know this.
Wow.
Kyle Shanahan likes to make things easy on his quarterback, and they know Ayuk is going to be a part of
that. So his trade request
this year, he's Niner for a long time.
First option you think is San Francisco. Second option you think is San Francisco.
San Francisco. Third option, if he got to the free, if he played it out, eventually it sounds like he wants to go to the Commanders, but I think that's a long way
off. Martensi Johnson, how'd you hear all this?
It matters.
Yeah, I see this as Brandon Ayuk is upset about the amount of money he makes. He makes about half of what Amon St. Brown makes, so he wants something closer to that. But like Kevin said, the 49ers don't have to do anything. The only thing that Brandon Ayuk can do is lose money in this by not showing up to training camp. But the San Francisco 49ers know that they need him. He's one of the best route runners. He gets separation about as good as any other receiver. And he can just catch the ball, as we saw in the NFC Championship game where the ball bounced off the defender's helmet and he caught it and eventually led to
David,
a touchdown. The man is good. Keep
him. What does a trade request mean right now?
It means that we are once again in the modus operandi of the 49ers, where they have unnecessary drama with these contracts. We've seen it with Deebo Samuel. We've seen this almost every year. They need Ayuk, and Ayuk is best fit for this team. 1,800 yards and 11 touchdowns with Brock Purdy as his quarterback. They need him as they're making their Super Bowl run. They're planning on signing him. They're not taking trade requests or you know, calls from other teams. But I'm not sure why they've dragged this out to the point where he's requesting trade.
But you brought up Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel had a trade request. They didn't trade him. Phil Plaschke, what does this request mean for Ayuk?
You don't want him 49ers, send him to the Chargers. The Chargers will take him right now. Go on, make that deal. Send him. Do it. I dare you. They won't do it.
Doing dares now? That's what we're doing? We're doing dares? What is that?
We're doing dares, yes.
I don't know if that was the answer for that topic there, Plaschke. That's it for Bill. That's it for Johnson. Dennis Clark, showdown next. USA over Australia in another tune-up for the Olympics, a scrimmage, six-point win. We got to clean up a little bit, but good vibes. Always good to get the victory, but stuff to clean up. We can play better, but we got to win. That's from, of course,
these Olympians. David, vibe check with Team USA after the 6-point win.
Vibes are fine. They were up by 15 going into the fourth quarter, and Australia's a really good team. They look good. Anthony Davis is looking great. Anthony Edwards looking great. Team USA is fine.
Gavin Clark?
Yeah, I'm totally fine with this. I think in general, I mean, I'm going to trust the country that's won 4 straight gold medals, has 10 NBA All-Stars on the team. Only one player on the team, Joel Embiid, does not have international experience. They know how to play when the games matter. This will be fine.
You're fine. You're fine. You're both fine. Everybody's fine. We'll move on. Showdown 2. Tyler Montgomery versus Tiger Woods like it's 2002. Let's go. British Open Week. Montgomery to the Times of London talking about it's very difficult to tell Tiger it's time to go. Obviously, he feels like a win. We are more realistic, which led Tiger to be asked about it and respond like this.
As a past champion, I'm exempt until I'm 60. Colin's not. He's not a past champion, so he's not exempt. So he doesn't get the opportunity to make that decision. I do.
Casey, who you got here?
Tiger Woods. Monty, why are you coming at Tiger? You know Tiger is the greatest iron play player of all time, but also he's the greatest at snarky comments when he has a few days to prepare one. That's what this is. This is embarrassing for Monty, embarrassing interview all
the way. David Dennis Jr.?
Yeah, shout out to Tiger Woods for landing the most powerful swing we'll probably see from him all weekend. How dare anybody tell Tiger Woods when to retire? He is the GOAT. Let the man play as long as he wants.
I was just happy to hear Monty taking some cuts again. You know, he used to do that 20 years ago. It kind of disappeared. David Dennis Jr., take the FaceTime.
Today, we lost Joe Jellybean Bryant at the age of 69. Obviously, basketball Philadelphia legend for the 76ers, but also just as importantly, Kobe Bryant's father. They had a strained relationship, but the thing that I would choose to remember is at the end of Kobe Bryant's high school career, him jumping into the crowd, hugging his father, and the connection that they had and the way that they spoke to each other for the times they did. I know that things were rocky towards the end, but, you know, their relationship and Joe's career is something that, you know, we should all take some time and honor.
Thank you for that time spent, David Dennis Jr. We're on a 23 and a half hour break.